Last year, I admired wines. This, I'm wandering inside the red world.
So he's inside the red world. So for Rumi, this means that he doesn't admire God. Yeah, he sees nothing but God. He is in God.
I want to feel myself inside the arc of your mallet when you work.
So in our case, it means that we don't talk about Buddhism, yeah, or our practice as if it's something outside of ourselves. But it's about being completely immersed in our practice, seeing nothing but our practice. And I always remember my nanny, when my nanny was alive, I used to go around there and she used to say, "Oh, how's your Buddhism?" Which I think was really funny. Yeah, it's like, you know, my Buddhism, like it was this thing that I kept in a box under my bed.
There are thousands of wines that can take over our minds. Don't think all ecstasies are the same. Drink from the presence of the saints, not from those other jars. Every object, every being, is a jar full of delight. Drink the wine that moves you, as a camel moves when it's been untied and is just ambling about.
So where do we find this wine, this essence, this experience? So we find it in the tavern. So if you know Rumi, you'll know that the tavern appears in Rumi as well. And the tavern is a sort of glorious hell that human beings enjoy and suffer and then push off from in search of truth. And I really like this image. I used to sail a little bit. I used to go in boats. I lived on Norfolk Broad. And that sense where you kind of push off from hard land, you know, in a boat where you try to just kind of push off and you float out. I really like this idea that you kind of push off in search of truth from this world, this glorious hell, this tavern that we live in. So the tavern is our human condition. So it's joy and suffering. And Bjork has this image or this song called "I Carry My Joy on the Left, I Carry My Pain on the Right." And I really like it. It's just very much like that is the human condition. There's joy and there's pain, and they go together. And I think sometimes what can happen is that we think Dharma practice is about fixing samsara. So to some extent, I think that we can fix samsara. We come across the Dharma and maybe we become happier, healthier. And in a way, we become better at life. We become better at doing our own life. But because of that, we can then stop that continual pushing off in search of truth because life becomes more comfortable. So, well, I suppose I think it's a bit about people being anagarikas and this idea of resisting settling down, like not settling down. What does it really mean to not settle down? It's not on a superficial level that we need to not settle down. It's that we need to not settle down anywhere comfortable where we're not going to be pushing off, attempting to push off into the truth. So this is why we say, for the attainment of enlightenment, I accept this ordination. Yeah? It's not so that I can be more confident, more happy, so that I can get on better with people. All those other things that are really important, and they do happen, and it's great that they happen, but that's not what we're doing in a way. We're trying to push off into truth. So what is wrong with samsara? I think that's quite a good question. What is wrong with samsara? Well, I would say that there is nothing wrong with samsara. Samsara is perfect. Yeah? So let's not try to fix samsara. Let's appreciate it. So samsara is this glorious hell. Yeah, that we're in the middle of. And because of that, because of pain and suffering, because it is this kind of glorious hell, it is the ideal place for us to push off in search of the truth.